This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody. Hour two, Mino the Mayor with a special guest here, Nikki Z, who's sitting in for Johnny.
I'm not the special guest, though.
No, we have a special guest. You're just, well, you're not really a guest because you work here. You're a...
True.
What would you call you? You're
I'm just
special fill-in.
Yeah.
Is that... That's
but we do, either. Our special guest is wearing a Stormy Cromer, and that can only mean one thing.
What's a Stormy Cromer?
The hat. The hat.
The hat,
the stylish
man.
Hat.
Yeah.
Did I just teach the mayor something?
That's... Okay,
I didn't go to mayor school.
Well, you skipped a grade or two, but I will tell you the truth,
ding,
Mayor.
Ding, ding.
And she probably won't miss the turnoff at Oshkosh either.
But, oh,
boy. Okay. But,
what are you doing right. tomorrow, Sean?
That's all right.
But mine was looking really good today. That's all I got to say. Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah,
that's me.
You.
That's
yes. Me. And yeah, it's, you said that. We've upgraded, and that is true. So, Sean Katzbach, you are the, what is your title? The marketing?
Director of Marketing and Tourism for the City of Marinette.
All right. You know what? I want to talk about your community and what you're doing there. However, I want to just segue. Nichols is a friend of mine, the mayor of Manitowoc.
Uh-huh.
You know,
okay.
He's been on our show here.
Sure,
and
sure.
We've gone to football games together.
Marinette?
No, Manitowoc. I just want to say that the reason I'm bringing that up is they are really fighting with
They are. Oh,
everybody knows that, but that's...
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know what? I think he's right.
Well, you know what?
Wait, what?
What are you talking about? Yeah.
It's so, like a bad tennis match here.
Well, it is. No, Sean is the director of the marketing and tourism.
Correct.
For Marinette.
For Marinette. And he is funded partly through the room tax.
Correct. Correct.
The mayor.
As all CV. Wait.
CVBs and CVBs and DMOs are.
It's state.
We're
what's a DMO?
A DMO is distant
marketing or
something. Yeah, marketing operation.
Right.
Something.
So Chamber of Commerce.
It is kind of. Yeah, it's adjacent. So we're supposed. So the way the law is set is that 70% of the dollars that come in from room tax have to be given to tourism.
Yes.
Okay. 30% then can go into the general fund. There was discrepancies with those numbers, according to what I understand, not what I know, because I'm, you know,
this is in Manitowoc or Marinette?
Manitowoc.
Oh yeah.
It was in Manitowoc that there was a discrepancy, and so they shut one entity down for the other, and so they're trying to kind of get back on track because they were, yeah.
They're going to squeeze them.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. You guys work really hard to put on events.
Yes, we
really
do.
Really hard.
Yeah.
And I think Justin's right in that he wants to control that money.
Sure.
Because they're doing, if the VCB's not doing anything for you.
Right. Right.
Just,
no.
I could make an argument for that in a lot of municipalities. But then they got taken to court, and the judge said, look, this is a statewide program. You have to do it this way.
You have, right.
So they're in a little bit of a pickle. But what I want to say, because you're the director of the Tourism Bureau, you're working really hard. I think you should control the money with the government.
Right.
And that's not working over
and
there.
And there's a system of checks and balances
right.
to
basically,
account for that.
Yeah. So basically what happens is we have room tax meetings that I'm very active and a part of, and we'll be able to say, hey, we need money for this or we need money for that. And they'll vote on it, and it kind of goes that direction of how they see that we need these things. I have a feeling, once again, I don't know this for fact, but I have a feeling that was where the disconnect was. Is because I am employed by the city. So the city, in essence, because the mayor is the head of our room tax committee, and then there's got to be on there, there's got to be one city council member One person that is the owner of one of the hotels in the area, and also then one person from the community at large. Okay. So, and we've got those five or six individuals.
And is that required in each municipality?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that representation is in each.
Yeah, and that's the checks and balances you were talking about.
Yeah, and if you have a hotel tax,
yeah, I mean,
if you don't have a hotel tax, you obviously wouldn't have that.
Right.
But look, I think the mayor, who employs somebody like you to make the community happen, should control the money.
Yeah,
and if the VCB is getting these crazy salaries and jetting off to these places to look at
issue.
Conventions.
Correct.
I'm not going to pay for
on
that.
On tomorrow's show,
I just want to say,
members of the Manitowoc Convention and Visitors Bureau.
I just think the way you do it up there is...
What's our phone call? Call on
I think the way you do it up there is the right way.
Yeah.
They got you, too, and they got a good mayor up there. But I just think cities work really, really hard on events, because we were talking, even before you came on, not only do the events bring people in, but the economic impact is
huge.
It's absolutely huge.
It's far-reaching.
And where you can really win on that is people might say, you know what? I think I could see living here.
Oh,
then
yeah.
You really win.
That's right. And that's what's called the halo effect, and it does happen.
Right.
So that's kind of the whole idea, is to get people to come here and then either say, you know, to our city and then say, oh, wow, this is a great place to live.
Right.
Or this is a great place to vacation. I think I'm going to buy a second home.
Exactly.
And, you know, and let's talk, you know, I mean, people in our county, Krivitz, Wasaukee, I'll tell you right now, probably 2/3 of the homes that are in those areas mm-hmm. are actually owned by people from Milwaukee, Appleton, Chicago.
Right.
So that's why we do have, I would say, in the years I've lived in Marinette, which has been just over 30, 35 years, somewhere in that neighborhood, this mayor is so pro wanting the community to grow that I think that's what it takes, is a mayor who says, hey, I just need to get the right person who gets it mm-hmm. and wants to make it sustainable, and then let's go with it.
And the mayor needs money.
Yeah.
And that's the money comes from your efforts. So, again, I don't want to – I'm going to call Justin. I have another program. It's called Lean Local, and it's really more focused on Green Bay. But, like, I know him pretty well. And
sure.
I do think what he's doing is right. Now, he's taking a lot of heat for that. Oh, you're not working with people. You know, they always say that about us. Oh, you don't work well
with
them. But you know what? We're working for the city. We're not isolationists, but we're close. So.
Thanks for listening to How to Spend Your Convention and Visitors Bureau
Tax Dollars. Let's talk about how you're spending it. It's great what you do up there.
Congratulations on a phenomenal event coming up of Brews, Blues, and Barbecues.
Yes. Yeah,
but
that was just awesome.
Switching gears.
Tell us about the 700 people. Tell us a little bit more about that event first.
So we did Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. We had two major blues musicians out of Chicago. Both did a phenomenal job, Joe Moss and then Taranzo Cannon. We had 700, just over 700 people.
Wow.
I'm waiting to
That's
get,
fun.
We just recently purchased a really cool software where what we're going to be able to do when I get my hands around it, which is going to be in the next few days, I can tell where these people came from. I can actually, it's like so cool because they're pinging their phones, and basically I can tell where they came. I can tell where they stopped before they came, where they stopped after they came, and all the way in between.
Some of this digital stuff
it's Big Brother scary.
Creepy.
Yeah. Not low key. It's creepy.
But 100%.
The benefit to you is you know where your advertising's working.
Exactly.
You know where your people are coming from. Mm-hmm. And you hail from Arlington.
Yeah. I mean, Arlington Heights. Yeah. So here's the thing. As far as direct impact that I can look at, we did about $30,000 worth of economic impact for a show that was literally 5 hours long. I mean,
wow.
So $30,000 is on, and that's on the low end. I like I said,
that's conservative.
That's very conservative. I have a feeling it's going to be about 2 to 3 times that when we're all said and done. We filled
hotel
rooms.
You want to guess how much I weigh if you're good at conservative estimates?
No,
because
I don't want a black eye.
That was my most mino-like question and interruption.
At least we're staying on track, which is...
really?
I like that.
Mr. Bring up the Manitowoc thing?
That was a segue into how he's doing it right with the money. It costs money to do these events.
Thank you for connecting those dots.
No, it really does, because so we're going to be, as you said, doing... kids from 1 to 92, that's coming up. But next year, because of, once again, the discussions and things like you said, I've been given a much larger budget and have been told, we want you to go get things that will bring people into our community.
Right. Awesome.
So right now I'm negotiating with a logging company that's actually the people who do the shows down in Disney World down in Florida, and they'll be coming up hopefully in July to do a logging competition that will be very similar to the one in Hayward. So we'll be doing that. We're also talking about possibly in 2026, we're going to have an ice carving challenge. And these are all things, like you said, that because we have this opportunity to take this money and enhance it, enhance the programs and processes that we're doing, will give us the opportunity to actually grow.
And you can track it.
And we can track it.
That's what's
we have the National Walleye Tournament Championship, which is the last one coming in September of next year. So that's the top 45 walleye fishermen in the United States will 45 teams, excuse me. So 90, because there's two in a boat. And like you said, that money's huge.
Oh man.
Wow.
We had that here.
Sure.
It was on some sports thing, ESPN 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever. But anyway,
it is.
The prizes
the
for
Ocho.
That, did you see the prize? They gave away this like boat with it. It was like $100,000 prize to these guys. What do you catch six and keep four? I forgot how they did that.
But
it was just very, very cool and kind of exciting because, you know, those you get six fish, they can get within ounces.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It was just very cool.
It's a great competition. It's put on by Cabela.
Nice.
Bass Pro.
Yeah, it was Bass Pro when we had it, but it's Cabela's now.
It's Bass Pro, Cabela, or Kelleb. I don't remember. Yeah, it's one or the other. So that'll be coming in September. So that's the whole beauty we've got the draft coming next year. We're talking about, you know, because we're 45 minutes away, you know, and Green Bay has been such a great partner with us that we're talking about busing people from the hotels back and forth.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, things like that. So that's the beauty of
that's cool. Well, you have so much going on. I want to focus in when we come back. This event that you have coming on, and you've done this for a couple of years, but when you talk about from kids from 1 to 92, that really is.
It's
I love those things that are, you can bring your parents, you can bring your grandkids, you know?
Yeah,
that's
and
pretty
it's
cool.
It's awesome. It's all such a great opportunity.
We're going to talk about that, how to get tickets, and you just... The good thing about you, Sean, is you know if the event's put on by you, it's a good event.
Well, we're going to try.
And people like that.
No, you are.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, we're back here to Mind on the Mayor with Nikki Z, and we're talking with Sean Katzbeck, who... he is Mr. Marinette, puts on these great events, and we're talking about at the break.
We'll have to get him a sash.
Well, how about
Mr. Marinette?
Right.
Maybe a crown.
We're just talking about what gets people in the spirit. And I was telling you, and I just want to get your feedback on the air. I was thinking about that yesterday because I think Todd Michaels, our producer, likes Christmas, but he doesn't lean into Christmas like he should. So I said, Todd, I came up with this great idea. Headphones, WGBD in the background. 97.9, WISS, Oshkosh, and then the Christmas card with his headphones. Would say, do you hear what I hear?
I think that's brilliant, and I'll tell you.
Thank you.
I mean, Todd, you are, you know, You didn't have that beard when I knew you. You are slowly but surely turning into Kris Kringle.
Well, see? And then I think every year. And, well, see, there you go.
Nobody likes a skinny Santa.
Jim, you've been a very naughty boy.
So listen to this guy. Man.
Sit on Santa's lap.
See, I think he's into it now because we're going to open the card and it could be him saying that, which would be very cool. But he doesn't want to go that far. But
Herbie wants to be a dentist, you know? I mean, we can do the whole thing.
I'm Mr. T. Miser.
Yeah. All right, but what do you got? There's one to 92. Yeah. We talk about events, and there's a lot of events. We got a parade
Mark
coming up in Green Bay. But this thing's cool. Tell us
about it. December 20th.
Yep, Friday, December 20th. We Michael Bailey, who was the lead singer from Vic Ferrari for years. Oh, yeah. And then also Steve March Torme. Yes. His father is Mel Torme.
The one.
The one. The Velvet Fog. and that guy his voice was amazing. But so they come with a 13-piece band. And this band, I mean, literally, I'll be honest with you, our stage is too small. Michael and I were talking about it a little bit ago. It sounds like you might bring a little extra staging because it's a 13-piece band with horns, with violins, with, you know, a percussion, a variety of different things. And they play everything. I mean, they play everything from Trans-Siberian Orchestra, so, you know, like Carol of the Bells, all the way to Two Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, which is called the Christmas song.
I'm sorry, Jim. How does that go? Chestnuts roasting or smoking?
I'll take Carol of the Bells. That is like one of my favorites.
It is
that is awesome. And have you seen TSB?
I have not seen
TSB. They were just here.
Yes.
They come here every year. TSO.
Yep.
Trans-Siberian. Anyway.
Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Yeah.
That is a great, great show.
It is. No, it,
and it's
I,
the
I'm
same
sure
show,
is.
But it's really, really good. You know what I mean? Like, I could watch that.
We watched it. We got a feed one year and had all the kids over and watched it.
Cool.
Which was live. And it was it was during COVID. And so they decided to sell the virtual tickets. And so I got it for our family to watch on TV. And yeah, it was phenomenal. I can't imagine being in the building.
The lighting is unbelievable. Yeah. And I think, like I said, I've seen it before. It's like you can see it again and again and again. That's just a cool show. So anyway, you play a little bit of that.
Yeah. And then, I mean, everything from John Mellencamp, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, the classic kind of poppy stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with For King and Country. It's a Christian a band, but they do a rendition of Little Drummer Boy that is just
lights out.
Oh, it's incredible. Best concert I've ever done or seen was theirs, and it was only three songs. They were the warm up act.
Really?
And, oh my goodness!
That's great when the warm up act trumps the main act.
Yeah,
I've been to a couple. Of those.
I won't ask who built that.
All right, well, that's
amazing.
Cool.
It's a little bit of everything. To your point, yes, it's for kids from 1 to 90, 90 you know, 2, but obviously, whatever age.
My mom's 92, so next year she's out.
She's carded and she's out.
Yep.
Sorry, lady, you can't come in.
Love it.
All right. So tell me about the tickets and is there
you
food?
Bet.
How does it all work?
So the tickets are $29.50 for adults.
Wow.
$25.50 for seniors. 12 and older are $15.50, if I'm not mistaken. And then 11 and under are free. I want to get kids in there. Yep. Also, what we're doing is we're teaming up with, I don't know if you're familiar with CASA. They are court-appointed special advocates. And we're teaming up with them to give Christmas toys to all the kids that are in the Marinette. And last year we had such a great outpouring that we ended up being able to give all of the leftovers to the homeless shelter.
Yeah.
And so all the kids got presents. Yeah. So thank you. But it wasn't me. It was a lot of people just giving. So it's kind of a teamed up thing. And then this year we're also... Johnson Controls, JCI, is our major sponsor, and they're going to be there also collecting backpacks for kids. So we're trying to really turn this into a way to help local kids.
We've got outreach. We've got a great performance.
Showcase for Marinette. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's...
All right. So tell me the website. I think people should plan this. And what's cool about this event, well, we just checked off a lot of things that are cool about it, but this is a family thing. Get
it's
you in the
totally
spirit.
Family.
It's the 20th. It's like perfect
you will
timing.
Be in, you will, if you leave there not in
right,
the spirit,
right.
Mayor.
Go
you,
get help.
Exactly. There's an issue.
All right. So tell us the website. I want to hear your phone number, whatever we want to do.
Sure. So you can either go on fishonmarinette.com.
Yep.
And it'll be in under the events section.
Right.
Or what you can do is you can contact me, 715-732-5162. Or you can email me at skatzbeck, KATZBECK, at marinette.wi.us.
We're going to put that all on our Facebook and
yeah,
website, whatever
thank
we
you.
Do here.
Yeah.
And I just love the energy you bring to Marinette. And I got to believe that transcends right to the act.
We try to. And, the thing is that I think it goes from the top down.
Yeah.
If you want to know the truth, you were mayor once. I think when you have a healthy leadership group,
mm-hmm.
everybody underneath, including myself, we get on fire for it then right. because we know, hey, these people are for us. They're not against us.
Right. And nothing breeds success like success.
Absolutely.
And if we have a good event, it's like, okay, we got to do this again and again. And then.
Oh, this show is, I was amazed the first year we saw it, and every year it's grown because people love it.
Where can we find it? Where is the show going to be held?
Oh, it's going to be, thank you. Great. Marinette Rec Center,
okay.
which is at Pierce Avenue, 2501 Pierce Avenue in Marinette.
Easy to find.
Easy to find. And
beautiful facility.
From Green Bay, 45
yeah, thank
minutes.
You.
It's just, it's awesome.
And, yeah.
But we can stay overnight too.
Yes, you can. Please, please do. Not at my house.
Get that room tax.
No,
we need that room tax.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Sean, thanks for what you're doing for Marinette, for
thank
the holiday
you.
Spirit.
Thanks for having me.
Everything that you do up there is just, you're a good leader, good
thanks.
Example.
Top
so,
notch.
All right,
thanks.
We'll be right back. Mind on the Mayor.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to, I was going to say hour two. It's like halftime. So we got another hour and a half to go, and we got a great guest in. Todd does a great job of getting us good, great guests, and it kind of ties in with the holidays, and you have a lot to talk about today, and I will just kick it off with congratulations on your second store.
Thank you so much.
Well,
I'm going to. Wait. Okay. I was talking to her earlier about how I am a huge customer of yours, and Unity Hospice, who we're going to talk about what Unity Hospice does, the large umbrella, but one of your funding sources is your retail stores, and you have done a great job with that. Alyssa Gerke, right?
Alyssa. It gets mispronounced all the time. That's
okay. Mrs. Gerke. Hey, welcome. Welcome to the show. We're glad you're on here to talk about Unity Hospice and what you all do. But again, one of your revenue streams are your resale shops. And you have one on Comanche, which uh-huh. is very successful, bursting at the seams. I have tried to reduce some inventory there.
That's what I understand, and thank you for your generosity.
So tell us about your new place,
second
and then we'll get
location.
Into more. Yeah.
Sure. It actually just opened yesterday.
Wow, exciting.
It is on South Broadway in East Apeer. So right just before the roundabout as you're heading out on PP, mm-hmm. it's across from the Quick Trip. Everybody knows where the Quick Trips are.
So and drive past the Mulva Cultural yes. Center and yep.
Uh-huh. Down on the right-hand side, it's a 10,000 square foot building.
Awesome.
We have a 3-year lease. Need to thank Park Place Holdings, who's the landlord, in getting us in. We're not fully operational yet. We still have IEI doing a little bit of build out.
Okay.
We have a little bit of a snag on some of the zoning, but got that taken care of. And yesterday we had a $3,000 in sales opening day, which is fantastic.
For resale?
Probably $20,000 worth of stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, it's
right.
That stuff is the bomb. I mean,
how you price that?
Yeah. Just one plug for your store, and then I want to get into Unity Hospice. But your stores, people go to the Jack and Inky Ming facility, or they use hospice for, they want to do something. And many people will give you their household goods. And some of the kids today don't want that stuff. I mean, they're living outside, or it doesn't connect. And they donate some unbelievable high quality stuff to Unity Hospice. Mm-hmm. And you take the best of the best, and the other stuff you don't landfill, but you send it maybe to another place. You just, in like China and some of the furniture you have there.
We have some really strong partnerships. People have referred to us as an upscale resale shop.
I didn't want to that, but that's what I think you are.
I wanted to keep that a secret because on the down low, so I can get all that good stuff.
And many people still believe and understand that only family members that have lost a loved one in our program can actually bring donations there. And it is the entire community is welcome to bring the donations, and the entire community is welcome to come shop. I remember when I presented the business plan to the board initially, they looked at me thinking, resale shop? How does that fit into our mission? And actually many hospice organizations have resale shops. Yes. The primary reason being when a family or an individual has lost a loved one, there's a struggle and there's difficulty in departing with their loved one's belongings.
Absolutely.
They don't want to put a 25-cent sticker on it in a garage sale. And so for them to be able to give back to our organization, especially if we've provided, you know, love, support, and care to their loved one, it's a way for them to give back to the organization.
Yeah. And in the most remarkable way, the services you and your organization provide, outstanding. I will probably cry during our segment because I've experienced the care.
And a lot of us have, and you guys are awesome. So I think people, if you ask the person on the street, what is Unity Hospice, they may say something, but what is it? I mean, it's really not, some people, the misconception, it's like it's not the last couple of days.
You are so right. And that's what tends to happen is we get the referral later in the disease process, which really is a disadvantage for the patient and the family, that they're not able to enjoy the full complement of the multi and interdisciplinary team that we have to offer. The CMS guidelines is if the life expectancy is 6 months or less, should the disease take its natural progression, the individual is eligible for hospice. Mm-hmm. Our average stay on our hospice program is somewhere between 60 and 70 days. Our median, though, is only about 17 days. So half of our people are on our program less than 2 weeks. Sure. But you're right. I refer to the staff as angels, and that includes our volunteers.
100%.
You know, 100%. What they do is amazing. I lost my mom on our program 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years December 4th. Lost my mother-in-law about 6 months ago on our program. So I have a full appreciation, having been a family member in receipt of the care that our team renders. So it's amazing.
Obviously talking with are you the director? What's your title?
Executive director?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Of Unity Hospice here. And what's your footprint? Is it Brown County or do you go into Allegheny?
We actually cover all our parts of 15 counties in northeastern Wisconsin. We go as far south as we just ventured into Winnebago as of the 1st of September. We go all the way over to Clintonville, up through Shawano, all the way up to Marinette, Niagara, down the lakeshore, all the way up Door County, including Washington Island. We have staff that travel via ferry on a very regular basis, all the way down to Manitowoc and then across.
Wow.
That's good. That's
impressive.
Tell me, when it comes to Unity Hospice, you have a paid staff, but you have a lot of volunteers, especially in these stores. And I want to give a shout out to the volunteers because we've been talking about them all week, different volunteers, but tell me how one can become a volunteer.
Absolutely. As you mentioned, we have our staff count on payroll is around 300, and our volunteer count is about 350. And if it weren't for the volunteers doing vigil bedside sits all the way. We have, you know, as Mino knows, we have a very robust veteran to veteran program. Mm. And again, our two resale shops Each of them require about 60 volunteers because all we have is a part-time paid manager and a full-time assistant manager. All the rest
and
is volunteers.
By the by volunteers. Remarkable.
So any interest in volunteering, it depends on what gifts and interest you have as an individual. Mm-hmm. We try to match that up and then, you know, help place you within the organization wherever it's going to be a good fit for you.
And I think you do a good job of that. You talked about people giving their household goods to you to resell. Mm-hmm. Some of your staff, there's some therapy for them too as well, mm-hmm. that have experienced the loss of a loved one. And they sometimes talk about it, which is fine. It's just their heart's really in that job.
Oh. I like to say that I truly believe it's a calling. I think for our staff, either it's, you know, I think when somebody asks them, well, how do you like your job? It's not like, meh.
Right.
Usually it's, oh my gosh, it's a calling, it's a blessing. Mm-hmm. And so I think I've heard from staff, and I will agree, the serving of the mission, I feel like I get more from that than I'm giving back to the communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. Just to be there at one of life's most vulnerable times, you're losing a loved one, you're losing a dear friend, you're losing a neighbor, a lifelong partner, whatever that connection might be, mm-hmm. It's a daunting journey. And
it
then follow up to the death, we have a very robust grief services program. We have a freestanding grief and education center over in West De Pere, and all of those services are offered at no charge.
Can you also talk about hospice? So you do have physical locations, but what else? It's not always taking somebody to something off-site.
You are absolutely correct. I like to say one of the myths is hospice is a place, and hospice is not a place.
No.
It's a philosophy, and it's a care delivery method.
Care.
97% of the care that we render are in patients' homes, mm-hmm. whether their home is an apartment, a condo, whatever, nursing home, assisted living. Our Jack and Inky Meng Center is only about 3% of our patient count. The remainder are definitely provided throughout the communities that we serve.
So you have nurses and support staff, CNAs and everybody, uh-huh. the gamut that then travel uh-huh. on the regular basis to those patients.
They travel whether it's snow, it's wind, it's rain, it's mud, and they definitely encounter challenging situations. Mm-hmm. And we always talk about how their safety is first and foremost, mm-hmm. but you are right. We travel to wherever that patient and family call home.
And studies after study after study will tell you that people want to die at home.
They do.
They do. I mean, that's just, you know, and my dad was in the hospital. We obviously used you guys, but he just said, get me out of here. I want to go home.
Yeah. Fine. And 3 years ago, we started up a non-medical home care program called Care Companions, exactly for that reason. As our population is aging in the greater Brown County area, people want to stay home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their preference is not. And I came from the long-term care world, and I have a great sense of gratitude and appreciation for long-term care facilities, assisted living. But people tend to want to be at home. So how can services be created and rendered to allow individuals to stay in their home?
The scope of services from beginning and then after the loss and then the grief mm-hmm. cycle as well. What a blessing you mm-hmm. and the organization are to our communities. It's just remarkable.
Tell us about the connection with more than the patient, the families, what the grief counseling, which we all need.
Right. So when a patient signs onto the program, we with the patient build a plan of care. And that plan of care could be everything from managing physical symptoms, emotional symptoms, psychosocial symptoms, spiritual symptoms. And the plan of care is primarily wrapped around the patient needs, but it is also about the family. What is it that the family needs? Do they need education? Do they need support? Do they need guidance? Do they need reassurance? Do they need space? You know, we talk about mm-hmm. what matters most. So learning what matters most for that patient and what matters most for the family. And then, yes, to your point, post-death, how can we continue to support those that have survived, whether it be mailings, whether it be honorarium events that we sponsor, whether it be group settings, individual settings. So, yeah, we really talk about the patient and family, the patient and family.
I think they got the right executive director.
I think so.
Yep.
Absolutely.
This is awesome. For something that's so I don't know, scary, is that the right word? Or just, you know,
it's almost taboo,
unknown.
Right?
It's
uncomfortable for people.
Not and for you to bring it all together with the family, the patient, and that last 6 months. I want to just talk about, I know Jack and Nikki Ming like really well. They're like some of the nicest people on the planet. Mm-hmm. That facility is, I think people know of it, but can you tell us a little bit about it? I mean,
absolutely.
I've lost a number of friends there.
So. Sure. We're located out in Ledgeview, and we are on just under 50 acres.
Beautiful.
It is. It is a blessing. And we call it our inpatient unit, which is a Jack and Inky Ming residence, has 12 private rooms. Very home-like, very peaceful, serene. Again, no disregard to the hospitals. We all need hospitals for the right reason at the right time. But there's no bells, no whistles, no dinging. It's very low-key. Again, my mom passed away there, as did my mother-in-law. And it was peaceful and serene. And even just the aesthetics internally and externally allow for relaxation.
It kind of driving up the hill. Just everything about it is just... It's sad, but it's like, it's the word I'm looking for. It's comforting.
Yes. You know, end of life is inevitable for all of us. Mm. It's just how can people embrace that journey, hopefully without fear, hopefully without trepidation. And that's what we hope that the patient family experiences, that we are helping them. And many times we thank them for allowing us to be on the journey with them, to be welcomed into a home as guests almost.
Right.
And to help them.
When we lost my loved one and we were with Unity, she came to the service. I mean, again, the bond that is formed and the sincere connection. Remarkable individuals, though, because when you're doing that patient plan of care, that's in the setting of the home. You're talking about some immediate things and checking a lot of boxes, evaluating. Some big things.
Right.
And the execution,
at a super sensitive time. I mean, people are very on edge. And look, we're talking, you're going to stick around here. I got a couple more questions for you. Unity Hospice, the executive director, Alisa.
Correct.
All right. Alisa Gerke. And you opened up, we're going to talk about fundraising, and I want to talk about a couple of things that you do that I think is like really cool. I just, this is, and this happens every day. This isn't a seasonal business you're in. You are in something that, like you said, no one gets out of your life.
Right.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Mino and the Mayor with Nikki Z sitting in for Johnny. And we're here with, we talk about great guests need to be in your life at some point. Alisa Gerke is the executive director of Unity Hospice here. I was going to say here in Green Bay, but in 15 counties in Northeast Wisconsin. And, we're talking about to call you is a tough call, but it's the right call. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about when people call or when they should call or how they, I think everybody knows of you, but I'm not sure they know about you.
That's a great way to put it. If we talk, most people know us in regard to our hospice services. We also have a palliative program, which could maybe be best described as pre-hospice, meaning that someone has chronic illness, in their trajectory, they decline, then they level off, then they decline. And we have a program right now, I think our average daily census is over 200, and it's to help those patients from an educational perspective, help them get prepared, and to help them make the transition to hospice services when the time is right. Mm-hmm. There's a connection that gets built. Dr. Amy James, our medical director, talks about putting coins in the rapport bank and how important it is to develop that relationship with that patient and family, maybe through our supportive care management program, that they trust that when you do make that referral to hospice, it's the right time. We do find that many times those referrals do come very late in the disease process, which does make it very, very difficult to provide, again, the breadth of services. But we're there whether the patient passes within 6 hours, 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months.
Palliative care is used to be scarier than it really is. I mean, people have been in palliative care for a long time.
Correct.
We're talking quality at the end of your life.
Correct.
So,
but when would I want to talk about a little bit more about palliative care. That can start quite early. Mm-hmm. Like, how long are people? I mean, you said the hospice kind of when it's like, okay, I'm going to make this decision, and probably 6 months out, or I don't know about. I mean, it's like how long is a rope? But palliative care, though, I mean, can't that be like a couple years?
It can. And again, it's really designed. We have some relatively set criteria, but yet it's gray. So we take a look at the frequency of ER visits. Has an individual been hospitalized? Has there been an ICU visit? Are there frequent access points to their primary care doctor? If you start to see that picture, along with some declines within a 6 to 12 month period of time, it's probably time to introduce our palliative program, which the palliative program is really designed primarily to educate. Help the patient understand, because by that point, many times these patients have two or three or four different providers. So they have two or three or four different prescribing providers, different medications, what's working, what's not. And so to have an individual help them manage their care, manage their symptoms. And we also have our triage staff who are available 24 hours a day for our hospice patients are also available 24 hours a day for our palliative patients. So rather than, Sunday, 2 o'clock in the morning, they're having an issue. If it wasn't for the palliative program, they probably would report to the emergency department, which may not be the right setting. And so they're able to contact our triage team and say, this is what's going on. This is what I'm experiencing. Mm. And maybe we can help them avoid a trip to the ER.
Couple other things. You know, I almost came to work for you. I was like, right there, but then I went.
I know you were right there.
but I had a job there. But the new community shelter, you guys are both like at the top of my list.
Well,
thank you. The Boys and Girls Club, I like them a lot too. I used to work there. The Make-A-Wish Foundation is huge in the United States, right? Mm-hmm. And it can cost a gazillion dollars. You have your own little Make-A-Wish in that. And that's the thing that really attracted me to you. There's some people that may just want to go drive by their cabin one more time. You know, uh-huh. It's not meet Aaron Rodgers. They're just very simple. And you bring that to them.
Yes. It's called Gifted Wishes. It is all donor supported.
Right.
And I paraphrase and indicate that it's small asks with large impact.
Oh, yeah.
There was one lady that wanted to receive flowers weekly until she passed. There was another patient that was in an assisted living facility. He was a gardener, and he wanted to have some sort of plants and flowers to be able to look outside of his window. Sure. Yep. We went and got it, planted it. So it's, and sometimes you're right, it's one more trip up to the cabin. Right. It might be.
These things are like $200. It's not.
They
like
are.
This. The Make-A-Wish Foundation, I know a little bit about that, but those are, Disney World. Mm-hmm. those are expensive. Another lady just wanted to sing with the choir one more time.
Yes.
You guys hooked up the video there and in her bed and at the Jack and Nicky Mink. That was like.
We've had, I think, two or three maybe that have never been to a Packer game and wanted to get to a Packer game. And that's also where our volunteers, if that individual doesn't have family in the area, we have volunteers that are more than happy to go along with a patient, sit by them, hold their hand, be with them. So it's a very unique program. Like I say, it's very small in ask, but very large in impact.
And boy, that just takes the anxiety, I don't know what the word is, but I mean, it's more comforting, which is why you exist.
It is.
Yeah, and this is awesome what you're doing. So for people to support you, besides those of us who shop at your stores, which is a great thing.
Continue to do that.
Which is a great thing. And especially around the holidays, do you have a Christmas section in your DePere store?
We do.
Okay, good. Because you got a great one at Comanche. I know that.
Uh-huh.
How else can they support you?
We do different fundraisers throughout the year. We have our annual golf outing in July that Mino's the MC. It's typically out at Thornberry, and that raises between $50,000 and $60,000.
But even though he is the MC, go ahead and get involved with it anyway. Right.
Support it's still a good time. It's still a good time. Don't let that get in the way.
And even just, you can go onto our website, and there's a portal. So any monetary gifts, we talk about time, talent, treasure.
Right.
And any of those that you're able to give to the organization, it allows us to give back to those in need.
The website.
www.unityhospice.org.
I know that. That's great. All right, people, get on that. This is going to not only put you in the spirit, it's the right thing to do for any time throughout the year, because the year you're always busy, unfortunately, but you're always bringing comfort to people in these 15 counties.
Well, thank you for affording me the opportunity to talk about our care and services.
All right, happy holidays to you. We'll be
Same to you.
Mind of the Mayor.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.